Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're in chapter 10 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the text number is text 25. What page is it on? Yada hyadharmena tapo diyonrapa. Jivanti tatraisha hi sattvata kila. Dhate bhagam satyam vratam dayam yasho. Bhavaya rupani dadhat yuge yuge. Yada hyadharmena tapo diyonrapa. Jivanti tatraisha hi sattvata kila. Dhate bhagam satyam ritam dhayam yasho. Bhavaya rupani dadhat yuge yuge. Translation. Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest modes of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power, the truth positive, shows special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities, and manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods and ages. Let's say it all together. Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals, lowest modes of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power, the truth positive, shows special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities, manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods. I can read it one more time. Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest modes of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power, the truth positive, shows special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities, and manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods and ages. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As mentioned above, the cosmic creation is the property of the Supreme Lord. This is the basic philosophy of Ishopanishad. Everything is the property of the Supreme Being. No one should encroach upon the property of the Supreme Lord. One should accept only what is kindly awarded by him. Therefore, the earth or any other planet or universe is the absolute property of the Lord. The living beings are certainly his parts and parcels, or sons, and every one of them has a right to live at the mercy of the Lord, to execute his prescribed work. No one, therefore, can encroach upon the right of another individual man or animal without being so sanctioned by the Lord. The king or the administrator is the representative of the Lord to look after the management of the Lord's will. He must therefore be recognized, he must be a recognized person like Maharaj Yudhisthira or Parikshit. Such kings have full responsibility and knowledge from authorities about the administration of the world. But at times, due to the influence of the ignorant modes of material nature, tamogun, the lowest of the material modes, kings and administrators come into power without knowledge and responsibility. And such foolish administrators live like animals for the sake of their own personal interest. The result is that the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged with anarchy and vicious elements. Nepotism, bribery, cheating, aggression, and therefore famine, epidemic, war, and similar other disturbing features become prominent in human society. And the devotees of the Lord are the faithful are persecuted by all means. All these symptoms indicate the time of an incarnation of the Lord to reestablish the principles of religion and to vanquish the maladministrators. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord then appears in his transcendental form without any tinge of material qualities. He descends just to keep the state of his creation in a normal condition. The normal condition is that the Lord has provided each and every planet with all the needs of the native living beings. they can happily live and execute their predestined occupations to attain salvation at the end, following the rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The material world is created to satisfy the whims of the Nityabaddha, or everlastingly conditioned souls, just as naughty boys are provided with playing cradles. Otherwise, there was no need of the material world. But when they become intoxicated with the power of material science to exploit the resources unlawfully within the sanction of the Lord, and that also only for sense gratification, there is a necessity of the Lord's incarnation to chastise the rebellious and to protect the faithful. When he descends, he exhibits superhuman acts just to prove his supreme right, and materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, and Kamsa are sufficiently punished. He acts in a manner which no one can imitate. For example, the Lord, when he appeared as Rama, bridged the Indian Ocean. When he appeared as Krishna, from his very childhood, he showed superhuman activities by killing Putana, Agasura, Shaktasura, Kaliya, etc. And then his maternal uncle, Kamsa. When he was at Dwarka, he married 16,108 queens, and all of them were blessed with a sufficient number of children. The sum total of his personal family members amounted to about 100,000, properly known as the Yaduvamsa. And again, during his lifetime, he managed to vanquish them all. He is famous as the Govardhanadhari Hari because he lifted, at the age of only 7, the hill known as Govardhan. The Lord killed many undesirable kings in his time, and as a Kshatriya, he fought chivalrously. He is famous as Asamurdva, unparalleled. No one is equal to or greater than him. Yada hidharmina tapodiyo nrapa jivanti tatraisha hisattvata kila date bhagam satyam ratam dayo yasho dayam yasho bhavaya rupani dadhe yuge yuge. Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest modes of existence, the Lord, in his transcendental form, manifests his supreme power, the truth positive, shows special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities, and manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods and ages. I remember the first Bhakti Godhead magazine that I got, I saw on the logo and the masthead. There's a picture of Srila Vyasadeva, I believe. Or is it Lord Chaitanya? It's Lord Chaitanya. Well, in the Bhagavatam, then, there's a picture. Lord Chaitanya is giving light to all the people below. And in the Bhagavatam, there's a picture also of Vyasadeva holding up the Bhagavatam. And then the light is coming out. And there's what looks like to be a confused mass of people below who are getting light from that Bhagavatam. Krishna swa dhamo pagate dharma jnana dibisaha kalo nashya drishamesha purarnarko donodita. And it looked very accurate to me when I saw that, how there's a confused mass of people. And it seems that, especially nowadays, there's it seems as if, although there are many problems in the world, not many people, or nobody practically, has a clue of what to do about them in a practical sense. They're only, as Prabhupada says, stopgap measures to temporarily shore things up. The economy goes down, so you print more money. And now somebody's predicting that bubble will break. One bubble after another breaks. And when that bubble breaks, then we'll be back in a worse situation. And Prahlad Maharaj comments on this state of material life of using stopgap measures by saying that whenever someone uses a stopgap measure in material life, for instance, he says, to try to, for instance, cure a disease, then oftentimes the medicine and the effect of the medicine is worse than the disease itself. And therefore, there's an ongoing struggle for existence. And what's being described here by the ladies still speaking on top of the balcony as they're seeing Krishna and glorifying him is when there's no direction from the head of society, the king or the president. And this is described in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the cause for Kali Yuga getting worse and worse is that the leaders of society, the kings, will become more and more degraded. This is the problem. And as they become more degraded and their policies and their vision for the people becomes more degraded, then that's the way the people go. So Krishna is very intent on having leadership, as he was in placing Maharaj Yudhisthira in control and not Duryodhan, so that the people in general would be able to be directed properly through Dharma. And Krishna himself comes to remedy the situation, and when he does, then he brings with him, he's the truth positive, he manifests his supreme power, he shows special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities, and manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods and ages. And Uddhava says of Krishna's forms, his manifestation, that he's praying to the Lord, saying that actually the demons are more fortunate than I am. Out of his humility, he's saying this, out of his feeling of separation from Krishna, he's saying that the demons are more fortunate than I am, because when you come, you kill them. And that's the last thing they see, is you coming down on the shoulders of Garuda and chopping off their heads, and they see you right before they die. Therefore, they get such great benefit. And he's thinking out of his deep devotional sentiment that I'm not so fortunate to see Krishna. But Krishna's all good. So when he comes and he kills the demons, even the demons get liberation. They get the supreme benefit by being killed by Krishna. And he also displays his pastimes. And they're unusual pastimes, like when Lord Boar comes. How does he first appear? Out of the nostril of Brahma. He flies out and flying around in the air. And then everyone starts to notice him. Brahma and the different demigods notice that there's this wonderful boar flying through the air. And he comes and he kills Hiranyaka in a great battle. He saves the earth from the nether regions as it's slipped down. And who can compare to that? He's known as Arukrama, the great actor, as Vamanadev, when the world is threatened because it's out of balance, because Bali Maharaj and the demons had taken over the administration, pretty much claimed everything in the universe, had taken power. Then he came as Vamana, and he looked just like a little brahmachari, little dwarf brahmachari. And he came and begged from Bali Maharaj and asked him just for 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj said, you can take more than that because I'm the emperor and I can offer you anything that you like. And he said, no, just 3 steps of land. If I'm not satisfied with that, I won't be satisfied with anything. And then, just after receiving that donation, he took everything. First step, he stepped all the way through, covered all the worlds, and then penetrated the upper region of the universe and kicked a hole so that the Ganges could come through. And then where was he going to place his 3rd step? So Bali Maharaj offered his head. Because what else did he have? Atma Nivedanam, to offer his self. And that way Krishna came as Vamanadev and he rescued the world. Nrisingadev, when Hiranyakashipu was harassing everyone because of his great austerities, he had gotten so much power that he made basically a deal with Brahma in asking for his benediction, through which he covered all different angles where he thought he could be killed, and covered all those different measures. But then the Sringadev came as a half-man, half-lion incarnation and destroyed all of those loopholes, closed them all up, and killed Hiranyakashipu, who had become a disturbance to the whole universe. Ravana had become so powerful. He was challenging the best of the demigods. No one could defeat him. He had so much power. So Lord Ram personally came, and with a monkey army crossed over the ocean. And he sent Hanuman, his great devotee, to Lanka to do most of the forward work. And then Ram himself came, killed Ravana. So then there's Matsya. He appeared at first just like a little minnow. When King Satyavrata was offering some kind of, he was palm full of water as an offering. He was doing some puja. He found one little minnow in this palm full of water. The minnow spoke to him and said, "Please save me from the bigger fish who are in this body of water." And he took him home and he protected him. He put him in a little bowl. But then he grew. And then he said, "Put me in a bigger body of water." So then he put him in a little pond in his kingdom, and then he grew to the size of the pond. He said, "Something bigger, please." And he put him in a lake, and he grew and grew and grew and grew the size of this fish who was speaking to this king. And then he became gigantic, the size of the causal ocean, and helped to save the Vedas at the time of the annihilation, partial annihilation. Kalki annihilates the administrative class who have become degraded, comes and kills them over and over again, makes a lake with their blood. The tortoise incarnation of the Lord. Just for his pastime, he becomes the pivot for the big, gigantic mountain that the demigods are churning in the ocean of milk. Because he has a little itch on his back, then he can support this whole mountain and they can churn this. And out from that ocean of milk come all kinds of wonderful creations of the Lord. So all of these pastimes of the Lord were requested in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages at Naimasaranya wanted to know about the Lord's incarnations because they're all good, they're all powerful. And just by hearing about them, Suta Goswami says, in the morning and the evening, then all of one's miseries are destroyed. And in the age of Kali Yuga, apana samsritim gauram yanama vivashogrinam tatasadya vimucheta yabibheti swayambhayam. It's said, it's mentioned how the Lord's name is an incarnation. Just by hearing the Lord's name, fear personified runs away. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that one can invoke the Lord's name at any time and feel safety. And all the power, all the lila, everything, the Lord's present there in his name. So in the age of Kali Yuga, especially the Lord's incarnated as the Srimad Bhagavatam and as the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the world's in a precarious situation right now, so what are we going to do? That's our practical solution to everything. It seems like there are probably some, you know, other measures that we could take, like become economist and help fix the economy. Right? Surely some economist must be able to figure that out. But that's the solution? So how will that help? Well, you can elaborate a little bit more. We give him a microphone.
People will become happy and peaceful by remembering the glorious pastimes of the personality of Godhead, and they'll become enlightened, and they won't encroach on the property of others, but will be satisfied to accept only their lot, which has been allotted to them by God, and thus the human society will naturally go on very nicely.
Is that practical?
Yes.
I mean, what about all the people like are driving around outside, going around outside today? How quickly can they start reading Srimad Bhagavatam and attain those benefits? Even in our own congregation, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, about 15 devotees here today to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in earnest, you know, to chant shlokas and things like that, out of 500 or 1,000. Everyone's caught up. They're busy in this present age. So are there other practical ways to extend our... to reach out to people, because they have to have a starting point. Most people, they won't just start hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So then what else? Prasadam, you want to say something about that? And think, you know, in a practical way too.
Yeah, actually, I remember one conversation with Prabhupada when someone asked him, some interviewer asked him, can you make everyone in the world Krishna conscious? I mean, there are so many people that, like we are discussing right now, so many people driving around, a lot of people, masses. Prabhupada said, no, it's not possible, because this is this will be taken only by the topmost intelligent people. So even if a few percentage of the world becomes Krishna conscious, we can convert the whole atmosphere of the world into happy atmosphere. And coming to the question of how to engage people who are like in a gross material, who are in the gross material engagements, we can, of course, they will not directly take to the philosophy or understand what is Krishna or Krishna consciousness. We can indirectly engage them, like having them taste prasadam, or go out in the public and then chant the name so that they can hear and get the sukruti, agnata sukruti, and things like that. And in actually, when Akrinath Prabhu was talking about what is the solution, how will people take the, I mean, what is the advantage people will get by getting the Bhagavatam, in the preface or introduction, I don't remember, to the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada quotes this verse from Bhagavatam itself. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratislokam abaddhavati api naman yanantasya yashonkitaniyat srunvanti gayanti grunanti sadhavaha. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. I repeat that. Is directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So that thoroughly honest is a very important word, actually. So if people are thoroughly honest to bring about a revolution in their lives, if they sincerely know that they are suffering, they can embrace Srimad Bhagavatam.
But I'm not suffering. I'm happy with my lot in life. You mentioned that a percentage of people, if a percentage of people are able to take to Krishna consciousness, that Prabhupada had said, then there'll be some kind of, you know, the idea there'll be some kind of direction, some kind of head, there'll be relief. But that percentage, even if we take a small percentage, that's a very large number of people. And so our projects, say our projects in the Bay Area, right? Say we're thinking about starting from Sacramento, Modesto, San Francisco, San Jose, all that area. So say Northern California is our realm. That's what we have to think about. So our plan, we want to make, how many percentage points do we need of those people in this area, from all the way from Modesto all the way up to Sacramento and everything in between? How many percentage? Is it 1%? Huh? 5%? All right, let's start with 1%, just for the sake of making our plan. So we have 1%. How many people are in that area, population-wise? Several million? Okay, 10 million. So 1% means 100,000 people. And how Krishna conscious do they have to be, Kishore? That 100,000, what is their description? They're going to be like...
Yeah, following four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds. I mean,
so they're going to be like Govinda or Vipul or something like that. We need 100,000 Govindas or Vipuls in this area, right, as a project. So practically speaking, if that was your job, someone said, okay, you don't have to do anything else in life now, Vijay. You're relieved of your... You'll be totally supported, and all you have to do now is figure out a plan from Modesto all the way up to Sacramento, all that area, 10 million people. They're under your care. You're an Aryan. You come from Bardavarsha, the place where you have responsibility given to you by the Lord to make these people Krishna conscious, to relieve them. Bharta bhumati hoila manasa janmaja. Janma sartakari para upakar. This is reality, actually. We've been given this task. Now, how are you going to do it? What is your plan? You want to start? Practically speaking, we have to do this. So this is not theoretical. This is something we have to do. So we might as well get started because there's a lot of work to be done. Okay, so go ahead.
So the first point would be to try to stimulate the interest for devotional service in some form or the other, whether it's direct or indirect. So we cannot actually reach out to everybody. So I think it's probably obvious. Book distribution is one form where it can pass through many people. It can take its own route.
Could somebody take down these points? Because we're going to have to implement afterwards. So one point is book distribution you're making. Distribution of literature.
Distribution of literature. So you cannot have them read like very serious literature like Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. I think they have to go through a lot of journey before they come to this point.
Who's taking the notes? Vipul? Okay.
So the first point to start probably is read some easy literature that stimulates the interest, that makes them question what's the purpose of human life, what are these people really doing, why can't they do something else, and why are they doing? So there's got to be something, and try to stimulate the interest in that. Those areas that will kind of make them at least read the books once or twice, probably half of the books are or something like that.
Okay, let's take one point at a time, because you said book distribution. So now we have some book distribution going on now. Is it enough to reach from Modesto all the way up to Sacramento and affect change at least, you know, dramatically for 100,000 people? It's not enough. So a few... While we're on this one subject, just a few more ideas. Our book distribution last month, we did 5,000 books from our group here. How to extend it outward, how to increase that. This is one tiny part of our campaign, so then how do you want to expand that book distribution from 5,000 to something more? Yes, Akurnapuru?
You know, the book industry, people are always reading, intellectuals are reading magazines that have reviews of books, and they discuss books and the importance of these books and so forth. And I think that the intelligent or the intellectual leaders, social, cultural leaders, you know, and they also put people out when someone comes out with a book, they go and they go on a talk show circuit and they go on the radio and you hear Terry Gross on NPR talking to them. And you hear they're in The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and they're on the Today Show, and Regis and Kathy Lee, and everything like that. And the intellectuals, they still see our book distribution, I think, you know, that they don't recognize it as like an important literary, you know, there's some important literary merit to what we're doing. They're thinking this is a religious tract, similar to what they're seeing it as something that they've seen. So as a practical idea, we should go on with our book distribution, expanding our book distribution, putting all the Bhagavad Gitas in all the motels and so forth. But we also have to find a way to have the scholars, and not just scholars of Indian religion or something like that, but scholars of like what are the important ideas of our civilization, come out and say, hey, Prabhupada's books, you know, are important. They raise these important issues. People should take notice of this. Mm-hmm. And that might happen if a lot of people start becoming Hare Krishna devotees. Then there will be a discussion about, well, what are these books that they're following?
Well, we're talking about practical things. So could you be in charge of that part? So you should make a plan how to... there's a devotee in Modesto who's very good and innovative at propaganda and sees these kinds of angles too. If I connect you with him, can you work on that a little bit?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay,
try.
So that's one practical thing. Did you write this down, Vipul? Work with me now. So write down all these details. Don't miss anything, please.
Included in that would be advertising. You know, we should see billboards about Bhagavad Gita.
So
we should see
we need more
print
propaganda
ads.
For book distribution, and your job is to find ways to reach the scholars and get more out into the newspapers all over the Bay Area, from San Mateo, Modesto, all the way up to Sacramento. Conceive a plan. Maybe you'll start here in this area. But I would say an action item on that would be within the next, before the end of the year, you should be able to get into at least, you know, get two articles published somewhere. Working with this devotee down, I think it should be no problem for you.
What's the name of this devotee in Modesto?
I forget, but I have his emails.
Okay.
I've seen some of the work he does. It's really good. You'll work well with him.
Yeah, we need like a public relations.
Okay, so that's your thing. Before the end of the year, you have to get at least two kinds of articles out somewhere floating in public that will stimulate the interest of people for these kinds of literatures. Okay?
Okay.
All right, another practical step to increase book distribution, we have Govinda and then Rakshit.
So one thing I was thinking, like, we have limited efforts and there are so many people. So one point that you were mentioning, like, there are fruits which are about to ripen. So first we can pick them up. And so one, like, if we have some powerful example that speaks much more to the whole society. So sometimes we may have to focus on the quality part of it. Like, quantitatively, we may do many things, but if we can create some Vaishnavas who are living that Vaishnava philosophy, it means they are trained into giving to others also, and by their example also, they're showing the whole the values of Vaishnava life. So we can do that, and also
that means, I mean, we need practical here. We want practical steps.
So we reach out to some, like, basically what we are trying to do is reach out to some youth in colleges and talk to many students and introduce some small books and everything just to see out how much is the interest, and then see who are the people who have some spark, like they can easily come up, they have some background, they have some interest, then we can teach them the philosophy of, you know, we can Bhagavad Gita and like Bhagavad philosophy, and cultivate them a little bit to a level where they start committing to the process. And they start, you know, showing, I mean, by their example to the society that this works.
Okay, so do you have everything you need, the tools that you need to do that right now?
We're trying to gather the tools.
It's either you're gathering or you're not.
We have some tools, in the sense we have four people. Richard Prabhu is helping us a little bit, Vipul Prabhu is helping, and I'm going out. So we are conducting like Bhagavad class every, before the Sunday feast program, before that, we are every week we are doing Bhagavad Gita discussion. Like very nice materials are being prepared in Pune, Radhesham Prabhu. So we're using that material to discuss them in an intellectual level. So and we try to address their problems. Student has some typical problems they have. So like stress management, mind control, how to get over the habits, old habits. This kind of topics we see from Bhagavad Gita perspective how the solution can come out, and then it appeals to them also. Some philosophical discussion we have to tell that we are not actually some sectarian religion, but it's the Sanatana Dharma, it's the truth.
Okay.
And we have to compare that philosophy with so many other philosophy and see that how it is the truth. So intellectual doubts get cleared basically.
Understand. So what's your goal to, you know, like to the end of the year or whenever?
The goal is to basically create a team of devotees who are understanding the philosophy and start making commitment of following some regulatory principles and chanting like 4 rounds, 3 rounds, and trying to do some service also. So that
is it practical to say how many devotees you'd like to have doing that by the end of the year? Or is that too soon?
Right now, like, we just started, so we, like, there are people, but we have to see how much. So let's say, like, if we have, by the end of year, we have, like, 5 to 6 devotees chanting 2 round to 4 round, something like that.
Okay. That's getting us closer to our goal of 100,000 people in the Bay Area. Thank you very much.